A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time! And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series!
I remember running home from school, turning on the TV to the Cubs game, sitting with my dad to watch his heroes.
Welcome to the World Series Dreaming Chicago Cubs Dreamcast, now hanging out with the guys at Obstructed View. We are not affiliated with the actual Chicago Cubs, we're just a bunch of fans who love the local nine and enjoy talking baseball and, of course, the 2016 World Series champion Cubs. Hello, this is Ken. With me are Adam and Skip from Obstructive View. How's everybody doing?
Never better.
Hey, I'm happy to be back for a change.
Yeah, well, welcome back from the world of forestry or whatever. As we record today, we are about a week out from Christmas and other assorted holidays, and things have happened in the world of baseball, and that also involves the Cubs. So, yeah, how about we just get right into it, guys? Let's talk some Juan Soto, who is not a Cub, and let's talk about guys who have become Cubs. So how's that for a plan, guys?
I love this plan. I'm excited to be a part of it. Let's do it.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
As the spring gave away to summer, past the ivy-colored dreams, toward the days that kept us yearning for tomorrow.
So let's start with the non-Cub. What was the final number? $765 million? And that's not deferred money?
Yeah, that sounds right. Something like, was it a $25 million signing bonus?
I feel like it was more than that. It's like most of the first year is signing bonus. And then it's broken down into something crazy, and somebody told me that there's like an allowance in the contract for Juan Soto's mom to have a skybox and clothes and stuff every year. It's insane.
Sounds good. Get a hook up, mom. Makes sense.
I mean, it's better than letting her buy her own stuff than having to do it yourself and not picking the right things, right?
Yeah, it was $75 million signing bonus. For Juan. That's a good haul, not gonna lie.
Yeah. I don't know if he was renting for that year he was with the Yankees, but now he can definitely buy a house even in New York City.
He can afford to pay the movers. Probably. I don't know. It can be pretty expensive.
Yeah. And you know how in like New York, you actually have to pay a mortgage for a parking spot? Like you can own a parking spot. So he can now afford a house and then probably a house in each borough, like depending on if he actually wants to step foot in Staten Island, and then a parking spot associated with each of his houses with that, just the signing bonus alone. I mean, that's an insane amount of money, even with inflation.
So maybe you guys can help me with this. So the signing bonus, that all comes up front, or it seems to me like sometimes the signing bonuses, part of those are deferred. But what's the advantage of a signing bonus versus just that much more salary?
I mean, it's the signing bonus, I think, is baked into the $765 million, which apparently can go up to over $800 million. So this is separate from your question, but based on what I understand, in 5 years, he has the ability to opt out, or the New York Mets can just say, you know, no, hell no, you're not opting out. We're just going to pay you $4 million more each year. So that's one. And so the signing bonus, depending on which fiscal year it's attached to, can help with like that year's budget. But the average annual value is calculated with the signing bonus involved. So it doesn't change the AAV math for the calculation for the competitive balance tax. It just changes how the money is distributed throughout his contract. And he gets a lot of it up front, apparently. So that's part of the signing bonus. Unless it's like a chopped up signing bonus where you get signing bonus like one chunk here and then another chunk in like 3 years, and then we will Bobby Bonilla the rest of it for the rest of your life or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking at the language in Forbes says it's 75 mil up front and an additional approximately 47 million over the next 9 months. So it's actually well over 100 million above and beyond his contract is what his annual salary is what I'm deriving from that. But yeah, I would say the big benefit when you're talking about that much money, having the money in hand is a big deal. As far as investing it, using it, however, he plans on using it. But yeah, that's well, anytime I'm dealing with sums of that size, I like to keep a tracker on how soon I get it.
Yeah, I've been joking that he could probably pay my rent for the next year while I try to figure out where I'm getting a job from and not even break a sweat, because that's just a boatload of money. And you're right, the present value of the basically 1/7 of his contract up front like that, it helps him invest it so that now it's worth like $1 billion in future money after like Juan Soto's now retired money.
Yeah. Does he need a translator slash best friend?
I've often regretted that I took French instead of Spanish for that reason.
Maybe he needs stuff translated from French.
Oh,
Who knows?
wee.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money, but it is it, it's really difficult to improve on your players, and he is an improvement on just about any player. So he takes it up that extra couple of levels, and the Mets for what they want and what Steve Cohen wants, it's apparently worth it. And I do think we are seeing the effect of this setting a market for what a win above replacement costs, whether it translates, directly, it definitely seems like teams expect this to impact how much players get on the open market, where
So,
Ohtani's just didn't. His contract was so. It was on such a different scale because it was deferred and because he allowed the Dodgers to just basically break out the chemistry set on it, just the fuzziest math you could hope to imagine if you're an owner, to the point that it didn't, the best baseball player on the market didn't really affect the going rate for free agents. But this year it's totally different. And the other variable I like to look at is Ohtani signed after a World Series that involved kind of the teams who did it without, or at least one of the teams in the Diamondbacks involved in the World Series who did it on the cheap. And this year, Soto signs a contract after the benefits of spending boatloads of money was shown to be actually worth it. So it's just the economy of this offseason versus last offseason just could not be any different.
I do wonder if the upcoming CBA and a potential I hope it doesn't happen, but I feel like they're going to really argue about salary caps and stuff, and that could be another podcast. But that does bring me into the, let's ask you guys, do you regret that the Cubs did not get Juan Soto, given everything that you know now?
So I say yes. I mean, the Cubs could afford Juan Soto. It's not like it's not like the Ricketts can't afford Juan Soto. And I think he's clearly the best player. He's young. He's probably not going to be worth $51 million a year when he's 35 years old, but he's going to be worth $51 million a year for the next 9 or 10 years. And the Cubs should be at the top of the market because they can afford it. So I think yes, despite the fact that, it puts them over to luxury tax in perpetuity, I think they should have been aggressive.
Yeah, there's regretting that they didn't get him, and there's regretting that they didn't pursue him at all. But it does seem pretty clear that even if the Cubs could have afforded Soto at the price he eventually signed for, it really seems like the Mets were willing to just win that game of chicken against whoever entered. And frankly, I think that was probably the bigger reason why the Cubs stood down is and stood down, before negotiating even started, is kind of instead of a team versus team, I think it was more a business versus business approach where Ricketts was like, no, we're not driving that price any higher. We're not going to make the rest of our players look that much more expensive just to ultimately lose out, and have Soto end up with, an $800 million contract or $1 billion contract or whatever it might have been if teams pursued him the way that they could have. So I do regret that they didn't sign Soto, but my regret that they didn't pursue him fully is definitely curtailed somewhat by just that realization of what Cohen was likely to do and of what they ended up getting in the trade for Kyle Tucker, for 1 year of Kyle Tucker. It's very different than 15 years of Juan Soto, granted.
Yeah, we can talk about that soon, but I do think so. I'm just a guy on the outside looking in, like the rest of us, right? But it always seemed to me like there was no way he was leaving the Northeast. The Dominican population is huge in New York. It's slightly less so, let's say, in Chicago. And there is also a Dominican population, the Red Sox, where the Red Sox were bidding and whatever. I feel like just based on how the Cubs tried to woo a Shohei Ohtani to Chicago, that they could have spent that much money, but they decided early on that it just simply wasn't worth the effort, right? There's no way he's going to leave New York City. The best that could possibly happen is maybe he decides to go to Boston instead, which would be a shock. Honestly, it was probably 99.9% he was either going to be a Yankee or a Met, and it ended up that he's a Met. And then we can talk later on after all the teams have finished their moves before spring, or at the end of spring, and say, is this New York Mets team going to be a contender next year with a Juan Soto? And the answer, like I'd say 75% or more, has got to be yes. But you did segue us into the Kyle Tucker trade, which I think we can frame like this. One is that the Cubs pounced on an opportunity when they saw one of the best bats available on the trade market, and they got him. Okay, and we can talk about the trade return in just a moment. But the second thing, and it alludes to something Adam was talking about, is setting win win like basically the war dollars. And also, as a corollary, it's going to say, okay, Juan Soto is gone. Kyle Tucker is now gone. Who's available now? Cody Bellinger. And that happens to be one of the prevailing rumors, is that Cody Bellinger is somehow going to become a Yankee, but there's just kind of haggling on the dollars right now.
Yeah,
It's
supposedly they're $10 million apart, but it's funny, that seems like nothing now, doesn't
Yeah, it seems, especially to the Cubs and the Yankees, it's like you and I fighting over a quarter is what it feels like. But hey, 10 million is 10 million, and I think they're each waiting for the other to break. But it also seems like a deal that's been talked about enough to where it's hard to imagine it doesn't eventually get done. I not that I don't want Bellinger on the Cubs, but I think it makes sense for him to be with the Yankees. I don't think he's a very Yankee player, so I kind of feel bad for him because he's not that clean cut, show up to the office look that the Yankees demand. But he's compensated handsomely, so I don't feel that bad for him. But he does seem like a good fit, being able to be plugged in at center or at first, depending on how their prospects develop. He just seems to be a good fit for the Yankees, and hopefully they can figure out who gets the quarter.
Yeah, I'm thinking that it makes more sense, unfortunately, for Cody Bellinger to no longer be a Cub, because you're trying to divvy up at bats between Ian Happ and Seiya Suzuki and Kyle Tucker and the DH spot, and adding another one into that mix. While he's very versatile and he probably is motivated now to actually opt out next season. It just doesn't seem like a good use of the roster spot or the funds. So my feeling is that he's probably gone, and probably by the end of this coming week, because Xmas is coming up, and they, even though I think Jed Hoyer is Jewish, I think the rest of the front office is not. So they probably want to like hang out with family and not get divorced and whatnot. But yeah, the big part of this, the way this offseason has gone and what triggered this, is Kyle Tucker. And Bersilius, Jeff can't be here today, but he wanted to just kind of make sure that there are two things to think about. One is that this is a perennial five war player, even though he's boring as heck to look at. And the second thing is, yes, you, based on the trade value, like, you have Isak Paredes, he's gone. That comes with this whole other set of issues for the Cubs, but we'll talk about that later. Hayden Wesneski is gone, and finally Cam Smith, who was last year's top pick, is gone. So when I'm looking at that, I'm saying, wow, this is seems like a fair trade, but one that I am not too pained about because of various reasons with Paredes and Wesneski, and also Cam Smith just like barely showed up, right? So it's kind of like, okay, now we still have like seven of our eight top 100 prospects, and we get a year of a five war player, and we get that entire year as first dibs to extend him, which is the second thing that Jeff really was interested in, is like, you don't just trade for a player and then let him go, you actually extend him. So I don't know. Yeah, we can do a free for all, but they basically, those are the points. Like, you now have this five war player for a year. This is a go for it year, and after that, let's extend them.
Well, do you think the Cubs are going to pay $400 million to extend him? Because I'm not sure that I believe that they're going to buck up. And so, you have to really, I mean, I'm excited that he's a Cub. And even if we only have him for 1 year, I think the trade cost is fine. Although I think Cam Smith is really an amazing player. I saw him play in Myrtle Beach, and he was just already head and shoulders above everybody else. Jeff will remind us that the whole tin snap, what is it? Something like that.
There
So,
is no such thing as a pitching prospect.
oh, is it only for pitchers?
Yes, it's only for pitchers.
Ah,
I
okay.
think it's because they get hurt so much and they like just kind of forget how to pitch every now and then.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, at any rate, we've also seen a lot of, well publicized high draft pick position players that haven't turned out to be much of anything either. Like say Kevin Ory or Mike Olt or, a few others. But that, we don't want to get we probably don't have enough spiked eggnog to talk about all that tonight. So
We should though.
but so the thing is I think it the trade makes better sense if the Cubs are really going to go after Tucker to extend him, and I hope they do. I don't know that I really believe that the Ricketts are that aggressive on things. And on the other hand, the other thing that kind of led into this, you mentioned Kin on Bellinger. I'll just go back to that for a second. There's nothing wrong with keeping him around. He is a good player, and we know that. And you essentially then have him and PCA and Michael Bush alternating for two positions. That's the way I would see it, is he would stay at center or first, and spell those guys when you have pitchers you don't want them to face yet because they're still young, when so you can alternate those three guys into those two spots, and I think that probably works pretty well. If you don't trade him, I don't think that's a big deal.
Yeah, it looks to me, talking about extending guys, if for some reason the extended future of free agency was looking down for players, if there's some reason why it would be uncertain that they would be able to secure an extended big time six figure salary on their contract. I can see why it would be in his best interest to sign an extension with the Cubs. It's hard to imagine that scenario where a guy who's a year out from free agency and hasn't played a game with the Cubs, why he would be interested in extension before moving forward, other than slightly, any uncertainty coming off of his injury. But it wasn't fouling ball off his leg. It's not the type of injury where you'd really expect a whole lot of uncertainty in that regard. Obviously, the Cubs didn't have any when they were giving up the haul that they gave up. So yeah, it's as much as I would like the Cubs to extend him, I don't see the benefit or the leverage that they would have, having him on the team. I really don't see where that increased probability that they will sign him really factors in. I think there's some likelihood he will see the culture in the city and what it's like to play at Wrigley and all of those good things, but ultimately it's about the money, and yeah, there's a lot of it out there. So how likely the Cubs are to spend that much, how likely he is to forgo free agency and actually sign an extension with the Cubs. That seems uncertain. And that really tells me that this is about winning this year. You know, that's the ultimatum on the table for the Cubs, whether Hoyer's job is on the line or whether they're just fed up with finishing just outside of the wild cards. This is the type of move where it really makes it seem like they're going for the division. They're going for possibly, you know, shuffling some deck chairs, maybe not just on the Titanic, but actually trying to get one of those top two, you know, if they play their cards right, getting one of those top two spots, you know, to avoid the wild card round. Yeah, this move says we're serious, and it really does change the landscape of how the Cubs lineup looks. You know, if you have PCA, if he continues to make steps forward, Ian Happ goes from being, you know, the guy you're depending on to manufacture runs is now further down in the line of who you're depending on for your offense. The defense in the outfield looks really solid. And you've got, yeah, not just a roll of the dice, which is what Cody Bellinger was in the lineup. It's like maybe he'll return to what he used to be. You have somebody who you really think is going to be that all-star slash MVP level guy in the lineup. And yeah, I mean the outfield slash DH department now looks really solid. The question is, do they continue to make moves in the starting rotation, and do they look to improve at third base? You know, will they go, how all in will they go? They're not get Juan Soto all in, but maybe they're one step back from really trying to make 2025, if not the year, a really good year. And I like it.
And you mentioned third base. I think one of the things that immediately they have to look at is to replace the defender and the potential offense that was Nisak Paredes. And he obviously didn't do so hot this past season, and regularly part of that might be because, you know, the win was being stupid, and part of that might have been mind games. But either way, I feel like, and I might be speaking for way too many Cubs fans, but we are not that sorry to see Paredes go. And that kind of sucks because we had some hopes when we traded for him. But the good news is that in Rule 5, they picked up a pretty good glove. And I feel like he. So this is Gage Workman, and I think his middle name is Tater for some reason. And this is for real. As far as I can tell, he had never played above double A, and now he's a Rule 5 pick, which means he has to be on the roster, or they have to somehow pay, I believe it's Tigers, a certain sum of money to say, yeah, we don't want to give him back to you because of the Rule 5, but we'd like to keep him. So that's one. Like, he is basically Miles Mastroboni with a slightly more hope, right?
You've really sold it, man.
So that's who's on there right now. The others that are in-house are, one of them is Ben Cowles, who came back in the Mark Leiter Jr. trade. He's also a double A guy. And Luis Vasquez, who you've seen, and unfortunately he didn't work as well as we would have liked. He was a good defender. He just doesn't hit. So if you're able to withstand that, then maybe your in-house options can just hold down the fort at third base, and at the very least, They might be better than Morrell was, and Madrigal and Wisdom, who are all three are no longer on the team. So if they are better than that and those three aren't on the team, you have an incremental win or two up at that position. Now,
But
yeah, go ahead.
isn't it supposed to be Matt Shaw at third base?
You would hope. Now, the thing, I'm glad you said that because you want him because he did so well at the Premier 12 and he's like basically the top prospect and he can hit to all fields, mostly Apu, but he can hold the ball every now and then. And he's apparently played good enough third base to make Mike Socha say, yeah, he's pretty good, right? So you would hope that solves the third base problem and maybe they're really bullish on him. But at the same time, you don't want a situation where last year you're like, yeah, we're bullish on Morrell. And then he completely tanked the position and then he forgot how to hit for a few months and then he got shipped out. So what I'm looking for is a way to not have to rely on somebody to be good and then have no backup plans whatsoever behind them.
Yeah, I think the fact that they've discussed trading Bellinger, Nico, and that they did trade Paredes, pretty much shows that they are trying to make room for Shaw and obviously keep room for PCA. Yeah. I would say they're going to give Matt Shaw a shot. Whether he starts the year there or not remains to be seen. But, they let Wisdom go. They let Madrigal's gone, right? Madrigal is officially gone. That
Non-tendered.
if that doesn't show that you're ready for a prospect to step in, I don't know what does. It's a serious move. And also just congratulations to Paredes at making it to Houston, where he belongs. His bat is made for the Crawford boxes. He's going to be a very happy man. They're going to love him. He's going to look like Mike Schmidt. So that looking at his spray chart, I think it was just from last year, but
Everything's pulled.
he would have doubled his home run output at if he had been at Houston all year long. So, yeah, I've gotta feel good for him. That should be a nice place for him to hit half the time.
You did mention Nico, and I think after trading Paredes, they can't trade Nico because you're going to get a downgrade at second base. And that means you have to re replace someone at second and third if you trade Nico. So I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
Well, they
But
could
you.
sign Alex Bregman, and then for third base, then they could trade Nico to Seattle or someplace, and actually get some other pitching that might be good because Adam mentioned pitching earlier, but I don't think Matthew Boyd is the answer to solving all of the Cubs' pitching. He doesn't hurt, but how much of an upgrade is he on Kyle Hendricks? Yeah, for sure. But is he enough to push the Cubs rotation into, say, the top five in the majors? No way. And then we still need a lot of work in the bullpen. So.
Yeah, and trading Nico, who has a lot of value, could bring you that pitcher.
Yeah, I do think trading Nico was as much about making room for Shaw as it was about what the return would be. That's just reading the tea leaves. Yeah, I'm thinking they believe strongly enough in Shaw, and the fact that they didn't let him go in the trade, and obviously he's a better prospect than Cam Smith, but. Or did I just rattle off a Miami quarterback? Anyway,
No, that's Cam Smith, who
I'm
may also be a Miami quarterback. Or is that Cam Ward? Cam Ward is a
Cam Ward.
quarterback and
That's
he's a
it.
goalie because he was a goalie with Carolina.
I have no confidence in my recall anymore. I'm much too young to feel this damn old, but I do. Yeah. So it just it really seems like they're so high on Matt Shaw that it's going to happen this year that he will come up. But yeah, I mean, if they wanted to sign Bregman and just, let Matt Shaw simmer for a little while, they're more than welcome to. I could get behind that plan, but I do think they want to be somewhat prospect heavy in moving forward. They definitely want to see a prospect or two turn into a key component of the core moving forward.
The only reason I don't like the idea of trading Nico is because like his bat isn't completely empty, even though he has very little power. And you're talking about Gold Glove level defender, and you're downgrading that the bat. Well, probably, like if you were going to move him, you assume that there's kind of some kind of upgrade offensively, but you can't really guarantee that, but you can kind of count on that level of defense, right? So, given the fact that the pitching staff for the Cubs right now is not very good at missing bats, you want to keep that defense. And that's part of the reason why I don't think they're going to trade Nico.
Yeah, I agree. I actually think that at this point they ought to be looking at in the Bellinger trade, they ought to be looking for pitching in return. And I haven't heard anything that's coming back from the Yankees really one way or the other. But unless they're giving us Clark Schmidt or something like that, I understand the fit for Bellinger in New York, but I don't understand the return in that rumor yet.
I think the priority is simply to move him off the roster so you get that extra roster spot back and you get some money back so that you can buy more pitching, more relievers, and potentially a starter or two. But that's the way I'm reading it is just do not have Cody Bellinger on this club anymore, even though I don't think it's a disaster to keep him. But that's what I'm seeing is like we need that spot. We need to make sure that we only have that four OF slash DH combo, and then we'll worry about the rest later. But getting the roster spot and getting that money is the priority, not so much who you're getting back for Cody.
Yeah, I'd
I don't
say
know.
it's less about the roster spot and more about the payroll. They don't want him on the payroll anymore.
Well, considering that Juan Soto is getting $51 million a year, and Cody Bellinger's getting less than half of that, and that Santander's come out and said that he wants a 5-year contract, and he's what 30, 32, something like that, it feels to me like there's still a lot of value in Bellinger, and so giving him away as a salary dump seems like a really, really bad move to me, unless the prospects you're getting back are quite good. And then I've seen other teams do that, and that can be successful, but I'm just not in favor of a salary dump for Cody. I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a pure salary dump, but I think those are very big considerations for moving him. There will be something interesting coming back to, particularly if the Yankees actually want the Cubs to pay some down. And honestly, like they should just kind of do it because they're paying Cody that money anyway. Somebody is.
I almost feel like it's less about the actual baseball calculus and more about the narrative that they just thought Cody was going to opt out. And they thought this upcoming season would begin and Bellinger would be somewhere else and that he wasn't a factor. And so when he opted in and took that next year and then potentially a buyout or yet another year on that contract, that was just something the Cubs hadn't figured on. And so doing something to go back to that narrative, the original one that they had charted out, that the trajectory was Bellinger would be shopping himself elsewhere, that now they're doing the shopping for him. Yeah, so that's kind of my read on it, is that they just aren't wanting to reconfigure how the team moves forward with Bellinger in the mix for potentially two more seasons. And they're just trying to get back to what they thought they were going to be, the cards that they thought they were going to have in their hand, before that opt-in. That's my read in it. It's like, man, we really thought you were here, so let's pretend you're not here. Let's figure out a way to make that happen.
Yeah, I think he kind of like they're not dumb. So Scott Boras isn't dumb. Cody Bellinger isn't, even though he looks stoned half the time, he's not dumb. So they had to know that this was an eventuality. They had to know, okay, well, I could opt in and maybe they'll keep me, but at least somebody is paying me the at least $32.5 million. Somebody is, right? And potentially all the rest of my $50 million on this contract. So somebody has to. That's part of the reason for the opt-in. Like, I don't think he had any guarantee that they were going to keep him. The only guarantee he had is that I'm going to get paid this money. And that's his right. And I think he made a good decision in that regard. Because if he's motivated enough, he can trigger the next opt-out and get an even bigger contract. I don't think he's even 30 yet. So he has time, right? So that was, I could have seen it go either way, but I think ultimately it was a good gamble. And if they kept them, great. Moving sucks. And I'm in Chicago. I told everybody that I love it. Great, whatever. But then there's the fact that I think everybody who misses out on a Juan Soto can use a Cody Bellinger still. He's not going to be as good as Juan Soto. Let's dispel bell that, but he will be useful. And I think that's part of the value that the Cubs are going to peddle and trade, especially when the Yankees basically just got the rug pulled out from under them and they still have all this money and they might as well spend it.
Yeah, I do think that ultimately, the Yankees have a little bit more leverage on the Cubs on closing out that final 10 mil, whatever separating them, because the Yankees do have other, the Yankees can go full court press on getting Alex Bregman. They can get Pete Alonso. They can do all kinds of different things to fill the void left by Soto. The Cubs don't really have a whole lot of other suitors for Bellinger, and ultimately I think he makes a lot of sense for New York, but he isn't a need for them the way that having the flexibility that the Cubs are hoping to get by getting rid of them. Especially, yeah, I think it's about that money. As much as there is a mandate for winning now, I think there's also still that mandate from the Ricketts, like, we should be able to operate efficiently and compete like the Brewers do without spending twice as much as what the Brewers do. So, and man, the Brewers got rid of their closer.
And they lost Willie Adames.
Yeah, they're somehow still they're going to win the division. Is that what's going to happen? Is that where we
I
are?
certainly hope not. I feel like the Cubs should be more competitive. So it at the very least, it should be a toss-up because the Cardinals are probably going to get worse. They're trying to trade Nolan Arenado. I don't think they're bringing Goldschmidt back. and I don't know what's going on with their team. It's a mystery with the Cardinals. The Reds, they have good prospects and they're up and coming and whatnot, but I don't know. They're the Reds, man. And then the Pirates are also the Pirates. Like, they have good pitching, but they're the Pirates, So,
They really are.
but yeah. I don't want to look down on any team in the division because baseball's so stupid that anything could happen, but it should be the Cubs. Like, they've done the most to improve this team that wasn't really that bad. I think they were just super unlucky last year. But if it's not the Cubs in 2025, something horrible happened. Like, you can't even blame it on Jed anymore, I don't think, because he did what we thought should have been done, right?
No, he
Oh.
hasn't. He has not. We do not have a top flight starting pitcher. That's what we need. We need a
Okay.
top flight starting pitcher, and we need more bullpen help. And we didn't have the bullpen last year, and we have hardly anything in improvement this year. Yeah, he made a trade for the one guy whose name I've already forgotten, but he has not completed the pitching. And so, unless we're going to get Luis Castillo, maybe for Bellinger, who could play first base in Seattle, or sign Jack Flaherty or something else, he hasn't
Luzardo.
completed anything. Luzardo, no. I mean, maybe, but waiting on Luzardo is, in terms of the crapshoot of an injury, he's like the worst option out there. If you're going to be concerned about medical issues. So, I mean, I'm not sold on this offseason yet. Sure, Kyle Tucker is exciting. I'll be happy to watch him, but and it's a big splash, but it's not nearly enough for the Cubs to be any better than a wild card contender, even in the National League Central.
I think the name that we were looking for is Eli Morgan. I forgot who they traded with for that. But the good news is it's the week or so before Christmas. That means there's 2 months left before spring training starts. So there's plenty of time for them to get to a point where Skip is happy.
Yeah, they're
This is
definitely
true.
not done. You
Yeah.
know, that you don't get the sense that Jed is done. The one move is big. They have made their pitch for Sasaki, although I don't think that included a handshake with, whatever biometric data went from the Los Angeles Dodgers to Sasaki, to where they could secretly sign a contract with the Cubs thinking it was the Dodgers. If Jed is that good, more power to him. I think they're going to make one or two more moves, probably centered mostly around pitching, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's the Cubs pitching is so interesting, because it's one of those things where if they're lucky, they could have still a really good rotation. I personally, I didn't feel like the rotation was what failed them. And even the bullpen, just the catastrophic losses to injury was just overwhelming. Like the bullpen, I continue to contend that the bullpen on paper would have been a million times better last year if it hadn't been for all of the injuries. But that being what it is, there still were a lot of injuries. And I think that's when people start talking about a front of the rotation starter, that the way that injuries have gone, recently, especially for a lot of the big name, typical front of the rotation starters, has completely soured my interest in going for that big name guy, you know, the Max Frieds and the whomever. It's like, man, just too many of them go down and they're out for the season, you know, after their first spring training start, or you know, it's just that scares the crap out of me. And maybe I'm still healing from Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor and what the Sports Illustrated cover did to them. But yeah, I'm still a little gun shy on that front.
Well, I mean, I'm with you on that, Adam, but on the other hand, you're relying on Javier Assad to, I mean, he's your number four maybe starter. And I just don't feel like that's good enough. And Shota, I mean, he was amazing last year, but he well out overperformed his expectations. And hopefully he's really that good. But just as much as the wind hurt the hitters, it helped him. And so, you know, I just, aside from Steele, I don't feel like the Cubs have a real settled starting rotation yet.
And I feel like they will do enough to make sure that they have the kind of depth that they need. But as the Dodgers probably showed you, that depth can disappear in a hurry. So there's really only so much they can do. You just kind of hope that the arms hold up and maybe there's a rationale behind them not having too many fireballers and just, you know, let's throw 92, 94. And let's have them hit it into the defense. Like you can't really control much once they put the bat on ball, right? But at least you know that there's a defense behind you ready to gobble outs up. And maybe that part of the Cubs philosophy is what's going to keep them relatively healthy. But yeah, I guess we'll have to see because like we said, there's 2 months left until spring training. There's a week left before the weekend before the Christmas holiday, and then you know there's going to be so much more coming up. This actually has been one of the most fun off seasons we've had in a while. Like everything just kind of kept happening throughout the winter meetings and even before, right? So it wasn't as stagnant as previous years, and I think that's a good thing. So we might be able to see more moves to come before we open our presents.
It was pretty fun how pre-meeting all the rumors were about Bellinger and Horner, and they're still on the team, and Kyle Tucker wasn't really on the radar. And you know, and we also have a new catcher, and so it was a little bit different than the script suggested it would be a few weeks ago, right? So that has been entertaining.
And you know, the next few trades, especially if they're going to clear names off of the 40-man roster, are going to also open up those spots for other signings. Maybe they'll sign a new third baseman or a new backup infielder or whatever, because Lord knows the Cubs have way too many outfielders. I guess that's it for this one, guys. Yeah, it's been very, very exciting. And I'd like to see what else is to come.
Yes.
I'm waiting for the Canario for Luzardo trade. I could get behind that.
But that would be kind of a, it feels like an underpay, but at the same time, he's been hurt so much, Luzardo has been that you kind of feel like it is fair, but I also feel like Marlins really want something for their big pieces, so it's got to be Canario plus. But yeah, again, I guess we will see. They're doing the thing where they leak a lot of stuff. And I don't think it's coming from the Cubs because the Cubs don't leak anything until it's like nearly final. So I think the other teams are attempting to negotiate through the media.
Yeah, but I think the Lizardo rumor, the Bellinger rumors, the Kyle Tucker rumors, once those got going, it was just a clear like, oh man, this really does have to happen, especially with the names emerging of who the actual pieces were. Those were on track pretty closely as to who is actually involved. I haven't seen as much as clear indication on Luzardo. I do think Bellinger will go, but yeah, we'll just have to see. But it just goes to show you never know what deals are going to come, It can go from haven't heard a thing to, oh, this deal is in the making. And yeah, we've seen a couple rumors come and go. The deal that hasn't happened and probably never will happen with the Mariners, but maybe the Cubs do get Castillo from them. We'll just have to wait and see.
And just gotta wait for the passing bomb tomorrow.
Wait for
Is
the
it
what now?
Jeff Passan? He's gotta drop the bomb on Twitter.
Oh. Oh,
Now
yes.
breaking Cubs, like get everybody.
Or on Instagram. He's taken to like I never know what platform he's going to announce something on, but yeah.
I
Whether
deleted
it'll
my
be
Twitter a while ago, so I don't know if he still tweets. I haven't seen it. So, I don't
He's
go
all
on
over the place.
Instagram as much as, and there's a bot that cross posts passing bombs on Blue Sky. That is definitely not Jeff. So
Yeah.
until he actually shows up, but Rosenthal's there and Heyman is there, so I guess they'll confirm things if things happen, and usually Rosenthal is more trustworthy.
So if we want to know anything about what Scott Boris is trying to negotiate, we go to Blue Sky and follow John Heyman.
Yeah, but don't explicitly say that
Who cares?
because he'll get mad at you. Yeah, well, thanks guys for hanging out with me again. It's good to see you again, Skip, and thanks to Adam for hosting this. Yet again, using however it is you got Zoom.
Mizumes to Zoom.
yeah, you can find us on obstructiveview.net. Theme song is by Rich Deanna, and you can hear the final out call from the 2016 World Series pulled off the radio by Randall Sanders. Yeah, so thanks everybody for listening, and Merry Christmas to you guys. I think you're Christian. I don't actually know. Secular holiday to you.
That works for
Merry
me.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yep.
And I think we'll see everybody in the new year because I don't want to pull you from your duties unless something really interesting happens, and then I'll hit you up and see if anybody wants to play. But yeah, most likely we'll see you in 2025.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It was more than just a game.